This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. The New York Yankees solo home run the Kansas City Royals to death in a win. The New York Mets have a nice win against a terrible team in the Minnesota Twins. But, you know, really what was important in this game is there were three bad Juan Soto at-bats leading up to his fourth one. And he ends up hitting that home run. It's his first hit with a runner in scoring position. It's his first home run in April, and it just felt like that was something that needed to happen. And Clay Holmes looked great. Of course, we are gearing up for Knicks Pistons. We'll get into that, and we are just a little over a week from the NFL draft. We got a good one for you today. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, excuse me.
Well, what happened there? You all right?
Yeah, I got a little bit of a throat thing going on.
You got a throat thing going on.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm not doing great. I mean, you know, today is April 15th. It's tax day.
Oh, yeah.
You should be pissed off.
Here you go.
We all should be pissed off. As a matter of fact, I don't know how this happened this morning. I had a little throat coat this morning. All right, thank you. I appreciate it. I got looseness.
All right.
So I got this. I wake up this morning. I said, you know what? Let me give you a little, I'll make myself a little throat coat.
Yeah.
Tea, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I just grab, you know, one of the Yetis out of my cabinet.
Sure.
And lo and behold, it says Shorehaven Wealth Partners.
I got that same one.
In honor of Eddie Scazzeri.
Yep.
Shorehaven Wealth Partners on tax day, Eddie.
That's right.
Yeah, but listen, it's really you because you snagged Al for Shorehaven. You've been trying to snag us, but right here, April 15th, tax day, Shorehaven Wealth Partners.
That's right.
I appreciate this. Thank you very much.
In Red Bank.
In honor of you. So, yes, there you go.
You're welcome.
Other than that, Juan Soto hates playing in the cold weather.
he did it last year with the Yankees.
I know, but he was just so bundled up out there. He got the hood up, the whole thing. And, you know, it's actually nice that they're winning, and he really hasn't gotten going. I know he's been on base a lot,
mm-hmm.
and people don't want to pay him, you know, $765 million to walk. But as long as he gets on base and Lindor gets on base, Pete Alonso should have a great year, and that's something that we saw from Aaron Judge last year. So it's all happening the right way. It's just not happening as, I think, as consistently and as quickly and as volatile as people were hoping for, but don't worry about it. He'll be fine. He'll come around. The weather will get warm. Next thing you know, he'll be raking all over the field. And the fact of the matter is the Mets are still winning, even though this was his first home run in April.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dissect his individual performance and get upset with it when the Mets are winning. Now, if the record was flipped and they were six games under 500 and he wasn't doing anything, yeah, I mean, that would be a problem. But they're winning, and also Pete Alonso is having, you know, one of the best starts to a season he's ever had.
And that certainly has a lot to do with Juan Soto and his history and how teams pitch to Juan Soto and don't want to pitch to Juan Soto. So, yeah, I mean, this it felt like he needed it. Gary Keith said it was one of those things that it felt like a monkey got off his back with that home run. And we'll see if that's maybe the catalyst where he does a little bit better here offensively. But it's also, you know, I mean, this Twins team, they better sweep this Twins team. They stink. God, they are bad. I mean, they've got pitchers throwing the ball all over the place. They've got like 7 errors from pitchers throwing a first base, and 2 of them happened last night. They stink. They're just a really, really bad team. So I don't blame the fine people out there in Minnesota not going to those games in the freezing cold when they got a team that sucks. But the Mets better go in there like a tornado and just whip them around and then come back and have an even better record.
Is it weird that the football team plays indoors and the baseball team plays outdoors?
Yeah, it is.
Especially given, you know, March and April out there in Minnesota is probably a lot like November.
Yeah, I was shocked when they built that stadium outdoors. I mean, I could not believe it. And I always wanted the Vikings to play outside again. I love that because I always feel like some of those dome teams can be, you know, soft on the road in the playoffs, so they got to go into a place like Philadelphia or Green Bay or something like that. But
now,
yeah.
I will also say that this is the soft underbelly of the Mets schedule.
Certainly.
So when you think about the Twins, the Athletics, the Marlins, they've played 6 times. You know, these are games that they need to win and they should win.
That's what Ronnie told us when we had him on opening day.
Underbelly.
He said that if you look at their schedule early, they should be able to stack some wins. They're doing exactly that. But yeah, they got to take the next 2 games of this series against that team. You can't lose. And, you know, Clay Holmes, he had struggled a little bit in the 5th, but that was his best start by far that he's had. And you just see a little bit more from him every single start, which makes sense as he makes this transition to be a starter. But when he is on, like he's on, he strikes out a lot of guys. He ends up getting the ground balls when they make contact. And that's so far, you know, so good with Clay Holmes. I mean, it was a little shaky in the beginning, but this, and I know this team stinks. I get it. He's not, you know, facing the Philadelphia Phillies, but he did exactly what he needed to do last night. And to see that swing and miss stuff that he's got is encouraging for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the pitching lab for you.
Pitching lab.
I mean, Mets got a pitching lab. So they threw him in there and said, let's see what you got.
Yeah.
And they actually identified him as a starter. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. And after, you know, what Senga did the day before, things are okay. I'm not going to get crazy and start beating the drum that they're going to the World Series for sure.
No. Can't do
that. They're playing, but
can't do that.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, just keep winning series. That's what I want you to do. I mean, and that's all I can ask for. And you know, they're getting production throughout the lineup. I know it's not great, but you know what? Luis Acuña Jr. should be the second baseman. Just leave him out there.
Yeah,
leave him out there for defensive purposes. Leave him out there. He's starting to hit now a little bit. And, you know, this whole thing with Beatty at third base and Vientos at DH, I don't mind any of that. You know, and especially if they want to keep Beatty up here. But Acuña should be the second baseman. And again, you know, last night in the middle of things, he's starting to, you know, become an offensive production. And this is what they expected from him. And maybe the more he gets comfortable, the better he's going to be. So he needs to play.
Yeah, and I've been an advocate of that. That's why I was shocked that Jeff McNeil came back. You know, they were saying how, oh, you know what, we don't want to bring Iglesias back because we want to give these young guys an opportunity. But then it's like Jeff McNeil is still here. I mean, the upside for Jeff McNeil, we know, is someone who a few years ago won a batting title, but it wasn't like he was lighting the world on fire.
You know what it is?
The upside for Acuña is much greater than Jeff McNeil.
It's depth.
Depth.
It's depth.
Depth.
We found that out yesterday, last night.
From Anthony Gallo.
Yeah, the Mets got depth.
By the way, what catch a stray or subtweet, like those things where people
subtweet.
Like, you remember that back in the day was a subtweet was basically you knew that person was talking about a particular person, but they didn't name them.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? And he did that with you this morning. I didn't appreciate it.
He did that with me.
Yeah, didn't appreciate it.
All right. We'll have to talk to Antifa Anthony later on.
Antifa Anthony.
Have a little conversation with him.
Guy doesn't have a lot of depth.
They have depth. That's it. The Yankees don't have deft.
Don't have deft.
See, but the Mets do have deft.
They do have deft. Yeah, he was talking about
deft or deft.
He goes deft, I think.
You hear a T.
They have deft. That's it. The Yankees don't have deft.
Deft.
I hear deft.
If you have listen really closely, deft.
They have deft. That's it. The Yankees don't have deft.
Deft. Eddie, what do you hear?
I hear the T in the first one, not the second.
At the first one, I hear it. The second one, I don't hear it.
Okay. I hear it in both, but I'll accept that. So what he was talking about was the Knicks as he's filling in for Chris McMonagle driving in, and he said that the people who hate on Carmelo in his time here, that's an old man take. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah, that was a shot at me.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. So, hey, congratulations to Carmelo going into the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. He, you know, really, and I don't, again, like I said this earlier too, as in, this is my other old man take, is that it was so unsettling when he was a Knick. And so, and the direction of the franchise was such a disaster that I don't, maybe only one other superstar could come in here, maybe two. Maybe Kobe or Michael Jordan could have come in here and dealt with the nonsense that he had to deal with. So there's no question that that had an effect on him. And I don't think that he even, well, I know he realizes that. But what it does to you as a player, it makes you think like you got to do everything. And he never, I don't necessarily know that he ever made his teammates better is what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you want to say it's an old man take, but it's also a young Nick fan take that he was some sort of special player here. I mean, and it's really easy to explain. There are people that are your age that saw championships. There's guys that are my age, didn't see championships, but grew up with the 90s Knicks. Then there's guys that are Antifa Anthony's age who weren't old enough to watch the 90s Knicks, clearly weren't alive for the championships. They had to deal with all the nonsense of guys like Eddie Curry and Mike Sweetney and Jerome James and Steve Francis and Stephon Marbury and on and on and on.
Right, yeah, and Carmelo was in the middle of that.
And then Carmelo comes, yes. And it's like, okay, they feel legitimate for the first time in my lifetime. And they're making the playoffs and yada, yada, yada. And Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo for those guys were special.
But you know, the amazing thing was, if you remember, when the Knicks signed Amari Stoudemire, Phoenix wanted to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
But they only offered him 2 years because they knew that he only had 2 years left in
those knees. Microfracture surgery.
Yes.
Yep.
But the Knicks were so desperate to get somebody that had a name that they had to go more than that. And you know, to Amari's credit, he tried. And then they brought in Carmelo, and all of a sudden he became like the second fiddle.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't going to work. And again, it was just the mismanagement of the organization that ends up putting people together that don't play well together. And, you know, they give everything to Carmelo that he wants. Like, there was no Jordan-esque leadership. That's basically what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, I think that it's not so much like a, you know, old man take or a, it's just a generation of what Knick fans saw what.
Well, he's been hit over the head with the idiot stick for so long.
Yeah.
As a Knick fan, anything that was going to give him any sort of positivity, he was going to grab onto.
Yeah, and there's a whole generation of that. There's a whole generation of bing bongers who absolutely love the Carmelo era. So, you know, and that team I never thought had.
They had never had a chance.
Never had a chance.
Not even close.
Now, I don't want to feel like that about this team.
And how about the way they treated Jeremy Lin?
Yeah, that was
rough. Another disgrace.
Yeah, that was not a team first moment for Carmelo or anybody. But, you know, and that's the thing I fear a little bit about this team going into the playoffs is that if they run into the Celtics and they lose in 4 or 5 in the second round, are we going to be thinking about this team and Karl Anthony Towns and like we thought about the Carmelo teams against the LeBron teams? And that's what I don't want to feel.
Hey, look, I think that in this particular series against the Detroit Pistons, the Knicks have the two best players and maybe the three best players on the court.
Well, Cade Cunningham's pretty good, man.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying he's not.
He's probably the third best player on the court.
He's not Jalen Brunson. He's not Karl Anthony Towns. And he's not OG Anunoby. Yeah, when OG Anunoby is going, he's as good as there is in terms of a full court player.
Yeah, I mean, I love OG. It's a little debatable. Cade Cunningham is he's really special. And he's got a huge future ahead. He's going to be one of those like top 3 or 4 players in the league if he keeps this type of trajectory up.
You mean he's going to come play for the Knicks when he's 36? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, those days are over, man. Now they get these superstars in their prime, but maybe they're not good enough. And, you know, it's for the people that didn't like the Karl-Anthony Towns trade because we were getting rid of grit and bringing in a guy who had a reputation of not finishing and maybe, you know, a little bit. I mean, it's not, because if you watch him, he's not exactly like some wuss out there. It's not that. It's just that, you know, maybe that championship gene isn't in him. But, I mean, the people that didn't like that trade, that's kind of playing out that way right now. But they haven't played in the playoffs yet.
51 wins.
I mean, yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, now this is where they're, what they say, the rubber meets the road, Jim.
Well, I mean, they don't beat good teams. You know, they don't play defense. I mean, we all know.
Well, they need to get that fixed. Like, you know, you heard Coach Tibbs say that.
Okay, well.
He said we got to get the stuff fixed.
Yeah. Are you sick? Is that what this is? Is this a sickness?
No, I don't know what. No, it's not a sickness.
All right.
I don't know what it is.
See, but I mean, you were in Vegas. You were flying.
Yeah.
You definitely picked up some germs, right?
Possibly.
Yeah.
It just could have been the dryness.
The dryness?
The dryness.
But you sounded fine yesterday.
It was a dry heat out there in Vegas.
I think you were.
And then when you get on an airplane, that's kind of dry.
I think you were in an incubation period yesterday.
You think so?
Definitely incubation spot.
Yeah, incubation spot for sure. Now it's coming out of you. So I could see a little glassy eye thing going too.
Yeah, you know, I was up watching the Rangers, the Knicks, I mean, the Mets and the Yankees. So the little glassy eye spot is what was that? The Rangers just coming back from a 2-goal deficit? When did that happen?
Yeah.
That never happened until last night. Actually played their best game last night. Keep Matt Rempe in the freaking lineup. The guy can play hockey.
Are you going to the Islander game tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Could be Matt's last game, so I got to want to show up, support.
Do you put a 17 jersey on?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I've got one for you if you need it.
So yeah. Under the weather, that's a burning the candle at both ends spot.
Why don't you just clam up, all right? I'll be ready to rock and roll. Just relax.
Wow. Yeah, all right.
And by the way, you two, we have to have a meeting after the show today.
After the podcast?
Yeah. No, not after the podcast, before the podcast, because I don't want to stay and wait for the podcast.
What happened?
All right, well, Allie came to me and complained. And I know that you know what I'm going to bring up here.
Actually, this is a positive thing. I thought you were going to be thanking me and Eddie.
No, because you haven't done anything. What was the last time that Bob Dwyer was here? What was his
couple
last
years,
day work?
A couple years ago.
No, 4 years.
4 years ago.
Prior to the, it was prior to COVID, right?
Yeah.
No.
Was he a part of the team when we were in COVID? And
yes.
Then when we came out of COVID, he was.
He was.
Whatever happened to Bob Dwyer?
Yeah.
Yes, he was there with COVID, because if you remember during the Boomer Cooks segments, he was there. Actually, he was very funny with his one-liner. So it's when everybody started coming back to work that he ended up not, he was working from home a little too much.
So he worked back in the show office, which is where you two guys have your office.
Correct.
And nothing has been moved from where he sits. I mean, there is like stuff in there.
Actually, things have been added somehow.
All right. So,
yeah, some books have been added. And I packed up some of the things that he asked me to pack up and sent them to him.
Right. So, you know, for all these years, Allie's been doing our makeup, and she's had to do it in a makeup. Like, she just had to make up an area special for us.
A makeshift makeup area.
Yeah, makeshift. That's it. That's the word. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And so she came to me and she goes, you know, I went to Al and Eddie, and, you know, I want to make that back there the makeup area for everybody, and I want to do a professional job. I want to set it up because I'm a professional and you guys are stars. And when I said, I totally get that. I totally understand that. How come that hasn't been done?
Well, that came up yesterday, and it is in motion. I went to the proper authorities. I said, we need to clear out all those old computers. I will throw out all the garbage. And so her big girl is on it.
I mean, you've just been sitting back there for 4 years with that crap building up.
I did notice the other day. I was like, boy, there's a lot of stuff over here.
You know, why don't I just, like, in the break, I'm just going to go back there, and I'm going to throw it out in the hallway.
You've said this like 15 times over the last 3 years, and you haven't done it. So you got to follow through.
What we need is one of those portable dumpsters. If we had a portable dumpster, I would throw everything there.
McCall Maggio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McCall Maggio. We got a garbage guy we can call.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know about you guys leaving the building. There's like 15 garbage trucks out here every single day.
By the way, out by the loading dock, they have those
dumpsters.
Yeah, those movable dumpsters with the wheels.
Why don't you go down and get one, Al?
They're filled with all like dusty stuff.
Yeah, but no, they're empty right now.
Right now, they're empty. You can go get yourself one.
This is New York City. Everything's a labor union. I can't touch nothing.
You don't want to touch anything. That's the problem. You can go down there and you can go grab yourself a dumpster.
There'd be a big rat in front of this building. Inflatable.
That is true. There have been rats in front of this building.
Yeah. And it's got like that gross belly on it, too. It's like a real like infected rat. They really go all out with that blow-up rat.
They do, yes.
So why were you getting on him? Did they tell Allie no or something?
Well, they haven't done anything. They haven't,
This happened yesterday.
This has been going on for three years.
I will say, though, normally I sit on something. When we decided this yesterday, I said I'm going to immediately get things in motion in case this gets asked.
Because there's some equipment in there which may be still...
For what? The World War II broadcasts?
They started using that desk as almost like a dumping ground for old monitors. Really weird.
It's ridiculous. You need to take a picture of that.
All right.
And you need to put it out there and just show how unprofessional you two guys are.
And there's some setup there which occasionally Cap will come in and look at, but I don't know exactly what it's for. It used to be the old TriCaster system.
What? What are we doing?
I told Allie this. That's got to be like a classic. There's going to be a big mirror with all those light bulbs around it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you guys can really see yourselves in it.
Yeah, well, she's got to start doing hair now, too. Sick of doing my own hair.
And we need a professional chair in there.
You know, just tired of this, man. I'm getting old. I don't want to do my own hair. Come on, Allie, step it up, huh?
You guys coming in with, like, hat head.
Yeah, oh, it's too much now, Allie.
I mean, it's not her fault. It's these guys' fault. They're just not supporting her.
Wait, hold on.
She's a professional.
This happened yesterday, and it's in motion.
Yeah, but I can tell that she's annoyed. She's very annoyed.
I already gave her an update today.
And we're in full support of it.
Annoyed. I mean, we were annoyed when she didn't show up till 8 o'clock last week when you were here.
Well, that's a whole other story. I didn't know about that. Yeah, that's part of it. She's usually pretty professional in that regard.
Usually.
You know, usually, almost all the time.
This is not a good time for her to be complaining about other people, though, is what I'm saying. You got to get some space out of that. You know, you show up at 8 o'clock, you're 2 hours late, and then, like, the next week you're complaining about other people? Not a good look.
Well, I think what she's trying to do is deflect.
It's exactly what it is.
It's like she's standing in front of the net and she's deflecting the puck. So she's like, let's not talk about my lateness. Let's talk about Al and Eddie not getting their job done and cleaning up their office.
Yeah, take the heat off of me. Now it's on them. And you know what? She succeeded because here you are.
Yeah, because I didn't know any of this stuff. And but by the way, I support it. This is a woman who wants to be treated professionally around here. And I think that it's about time that you start treating her professionally.
What? No one gets treated more professionally than Al. Are you kidding me? You said Big Hurls is on this?
Yeah, in fact, during this conversation, he forwarded me an email from engineering. They are on it. They're going to start removing electronics.
You know, Big Hurls is good with that stuff. He likes to get stuff done quickly. He doesn't like things sitting around.
Good. I like it. He's a Long Islander, and that's the way we act. We don't want to sit around waiting for crap to get done. We want it done.
And you send an email about something, he's bang. He's right there with you.
All right.
Bang.
Okay, good.
He's like, Big Hurls, that's on what the job.
That's what the brand ambassador should be doing.
Yeah. Did he use his regular email? Did he use his... BigHurls@gmail.com
I believe this is his professional email.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a professional one.
He's got a BigHurls69@gmail.com that he uses maybe for when he signs up for OnlyFans. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's get right to Jerry, who's got an update for us. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So last night in Minnesota, as the Mets played in front of their closest friends and family from the Minnesota area because it was brutal out there and there weren't many people in the stands, the Mets went out and got themselves another win.
2-1. Vientos lines one toward right center field. Wallner over. He can't get to it. It rolls to the wall. Alonso chugging around second. He hits third. Takes a turn for the plate. Cutoff throw goes to second. Nobody's there. Alonso slides in safely at the plate. Vientos at second with an RBI double. The Mets are back in front. It's 2-1, and boy, did Vientos need that.
And that was Keith Radlin, Mets Odyssey Radio. It snapped a 1-1 tie. Mets would go on to beat the Twins by the score of 5-1. Juan Soto, a two-run homer in the seventh, and Pete Alonso moves the batting average to .345. He went 2-for-2, couple of walks, and RBI single. So I went back and looked where he was at this time last year, because we all agree. I know he had 34 home runs. It wasn't a good season.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, at this time last year, he had 4 home runs and 15 RBIs. So he was driving in runs, but he was batting .240 as opposed to .345. So a big difference.
And I saw some of those advanced metrics that Buster only put out there. I'm not going to bore you with what they were, but it's significantly better than it was last year. I mean, like, in every category, like some of the strikeout stuff and how hard he's hitting the ball and all that stuff we kind of make fun of, but it just shows you that this is a different guy so far.
What was the HHR?
You know, 2 points higher.
Here's Juan Soto. Felt like a big hit was coming his way, and he got it.
I mean, I was seeing the pitch as well. I was seeing taking my sweat in my swings on the fastball and taking those changeup sliders down below. So I was seeing everything. So that's why I felt good.
Yeah, he sure did. And as for the weather, it sucked. But as Alonso says, you know what? When you win, it's not so bad.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah, a little misty, a little cold. But, hey, no excuses.
No excuses. Go out and get it done. And you know who else got it done? Clay Holmes came out, struck out the side in the first inning. He wound up going 5 innings, had 8 strikeouts. He wins his second game. Not an easy 5th inning, but he did battle through.
Had some good innings there before that and then ran into trouble there. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely frustrating, but you kind of, you know, switch the mode from, you know, allowing the bases to be loaded to, hey, now we got to do some damage control.
I'll tell you one thing. His ball is moving. I mean, it is moving down, you know what I mean? And the guys are chasing it. And then when it does hit the strike zone, it's coming from out of the strike zone back into the strike
zone.
Tailing
back in.
Yeah, which is exactly what you want and what they probably saw in the pitching lab, Jerry.
In the lab.
Yeah.
Tonight you got Tyler McGill facing Bailey Ober, I guess, on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio at 740. Also of note, Jose Siri, broken leg. So he goes on the injured list. Yes, we saw that in Sacramento. It was not good. The Mets now out to an 11-5 start. As for the Yankees, fair to say the balls were flying out the park last night.
3-2 from Lugo. And Randy Diaz pitch swung on and a fly ball deep right field. Biggio not even bothering to look. Way gone. Home run for Trent Grisham and the Yankees have a 2-1 lead. His 4th home run, RBI number 10.
And that was
Dave. Hey no hey now there? I mean, there's 4 solo home runs. Did we get a hey now in any of them?
You know what?
Maybe he's getting pressured into not doing the hey now.
I definitely heard 1 hey now.
The way that was cut off, I didn't edit these. This is the Austin Wells home run. Let's see. You know what? Here's a long version.
Here's Austin Wells. Drive down the line. If it stays fair, that could be Gonzo. It is a home run for Austin Wells. Another home run for the Yankees. 4-1 New York.
A lot of the Yankees always talk about how this is all contagious. Ooh. When one guy starts hitting.
All right, well, we'll see next time.
Hey, now.
May have a controversy on our hands here.
We might. You never know. Well, they wound up winning. They hit 4 solo home runs. They won 4-1. Here was Wells on the fan with Susan, able to touch up Seth Lugo.
Yeah, you know, he makes a lot of good pitches, has a lot of pitches, so try not to get too deep into counts, although I did both first at-bats, so... but just trying to make good swings in the zone.
And then, of course, Jazz Chisholm homered in the 4th to get the scoring going. He loves talking about the weather. Here he says, bombs away with the long ball, and there's a reason for it.
I mean, it was exciting, man. You know, we're just happy to be out here with some good weather and playing baseball and having fun again, you know? It was hard the last couple days playing in the cold, but we're here, we're ready, and we're ready for it to warm up so we can warm up.
That was on Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's unprovoked, too. I mean, he's just talking about it.
Yeah, no question. So, Carlos Carrasco, 5 innings. He got the win. You got Max Fried and Michael Wacha tonight on the fan at 625. Also of note, we've got the World Baseball Classic in 2026, and your captain resides on the Yankees. Here's Mark DeRosa.
I watched Mike Trout walk out against Japan holding the flag. I want you to be that guy. So I reached out to Trout yesterday, told him where we were going. He said he's the one. So I couldn't be more fired up for Aaron Judge.
He dropped
the captain for Team USA.
Well, he will be the team captain of Team
USA. Mark DeRosa getting choked up there?
I don't think so.
Well,
not if you watch it.
A little like Gymnast getting choked up in the cabin.
I think that's almost the way he talks. If you watch it, I don't think so.
Yeah, I will say, though, I'm not a big fan of this whole thing. I don't mind it. It's, you know, it's like the Four Nations stuff. It's just that baseball pitchers don't seem to be ready for the World Baseball Classic, but they picked the right guy. 100% picked the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it, and we went back and forth on this, Jerry, and I'm not trying to relitigate that. I just think that Mets fans have such a bad taste in their mouth because of the Edwin Diaz thing that once you hear this around New York, you're like, oh, God. great, someone's going to be out for the year. Doesn't necessarily mean that you can't get hurt somewhere else, of course, as we know. I just think that that PTSD when it comes to that Edwin Diaz year that ended up being a miserable year for the Mets in totality, it's like there's negative feelings around an announcement like that with a guy like Aaron Judge.
You sick again? Your eyes look terrible.
I told you.
Thank you.
Glassy eyes. I think he is
yeah.
sick. Yeah.
He's like saying, you look sick. And you don't sound great.
You know what? That's very nice of you, Jerry. Thank you.
I mean, I notice these things. I worry about you. You.
Well, don't worry about me. I'm fine.
I can be concerned.
No, I'm fine.
You don't look fine.
Well, you know, because I stayed up last night watching these damn games.
So lack of sleep.
Yeah, well, that and I still have to get my clock right because of the 4 days in Vegas.
This is what happened. He went out to Vegas. Lots of people. He's playing hockey. He's on a plane. He picked up a germ and his immune system's down. And then he had incubation period yesterday, and now it's popping out now. That's exactly what happened.
My immune system is down?
It was.
I don't think so.
Out there it was.
I mean, it looks like your immune system punched you in the face.
Yeah, I mean, out there, that's what happens. You know, you're traveling, the clocks, everything else. You're out there playing hockey. Your immune system was down.
If anybody knows about a down immune system, I know about immune system
being
down.
Yeah, you're the king of that. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Feeling all right. Maybe some Visine.
Well,
how about those eyes?
That's Allie's job. What's she doing?
To put eye drops in your eyes?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the whole makeup thing.
Oh, okay.
She didn't say anything.
You're right. Allie is
she probably would have said something had she had a professional setup.
The Rockies place Chris Bryant on the injured list with a degenerative disc in his back.
Good job.
In 2022, or prior to the 2022 season, he signed a 7-year deal worth $182 million. You want to guess how many games he's played for the Rockies so far? Keep in mind, it's 2025 now. They play 162 a year.
36?
No, it's not that bad.
Oh.
170.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
In 3 years and a month, basically, he's played in 170 games. Oof. So that has not gone so great.
My physicals are very important, Jerry.
Yeah, you're right.
You were bitching about somebody else the other day that didn't get it was a Baltimore reliever who didn't get his, like, $40 million. And
Jeff Hoffman.
Right, he ended up with Toronto, right. Yep. And he lost like $7 million because they wouldn't pass him on the physical.
That is true. That is true. NBA play-in games tonight. You got the Hawks and the Magic. The Warriors face the Grizzlies. KD to NYC? Maybe. So Shams is reporting that the Suns, who fired Mike Budenholzer
KD to
Monday,
NYC. Oh,
will work with Durant and his business partner, Rich Kleiman, to find a trade partner. And the name that keeps getting thrown around, the New York Knickerbockers. Part of the story is the fact that his dad wanted him to go to the Knicks not the Nets years ago.
No,
now he's available again.
Yeah, because he's 36 years old.
And the idea here is that Kevin Durant will finish his career with the Knicks. And then they will likely sign LeBron James after that.
No, we're good. And then comes Kyrie. Then comes Luka Doncic. Yeah, they're all coming here.
Yeah, we're good.
And Nikola Jokic is going to be here. And Jamal Murray is going to be here. They're all going to be here.
Shot back in the day.
Drop for JT. We've broken up by Forsling. Take it back. Miller. Trocheck scores! A shorthanded goal! The Rangers' 17th shorthanded goal of the season. And they take the lead for the first time in the game.
They do. That was Sam Rosen on MSG. Soon it will be Kenny Albert on
yes,
MSG.
Congratulations,
which I think we
to
all
Kenny and
kind of agreed thought would
one
happen.
One more game for Sam. And, you know, it's the home game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And what a great career, what a great voice, and what a passionate voice for the New York Rangers.
Will he be Nance-like or Boomer-like?
Nance-like or Boomer-like? What does that mean?
Is he really emotional when this is over, or is he just throw the headsets down and say, see ya?
No, I could see him being emotional. I mean, it's been a long 40 years, man.
Yes.
He's seen a lot of hockey and, unfortunately, not enough Stanley Cups.
That's true.
But especially this year with such a flat season and such an awful, like, 30-game stretch there that where they were sleepwalking through the season.
You know, it would be a nice touch if they put him in full uniform and had him take a shift. Season's over, you know, just put him out there, have him skate around, get in front of the net, maybe tip a puck in. I mean, it's been so bad, and this game is meaningless. You know, have him take a shift. It'd be something that would be wonderful. Sam Rosen at the point. Shoots and scores!
It's a power play.
You know, when I think of Sam putting on a uniform and skates, I think of you.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be better for Sam than it was for me,
right?
When I couldn't get up.
The Rangers, by the way, did win 5-3. Devils, Bruins tonight, Islanders, and Capitals as well.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So, how do my eyes look?
Much better.
Yeah, Izzo gave me some weed eye drops.
Some wait, what weed eye?
There's weed eye drops or something. What is it, Al?
Well, he had these eye drops for you, and he goes, "Oh, these really burn." I said, "He's not going to want to put those in his eyes."
Yeah, so I gave one eye a shot to make sure. Here he comes.
Thanks, Iz.
There he is.
Roto Max Strength Redness Reliever Lubricant Eye Drops.
Yeah, lubricant. Gotta love a good lubricant.
So they're not weed eye drops.
He says that, like, if you're on weed or something like that, that's what you use. And I was wondering, weed. Is he on weed?
Well,
why would you have that if you're not on weed?
Well, you may have it with you when you're not on weed.
Why?
In case other people are on weed.
I mean, it's an interesting thing to have at work, right? To have it on you when you're at work.
But it works?
Yeah, I mean, it looked 50 times better.
Wow, so there you go. Thank you, Izzo. Once again, Izzo comes through.
Weed.
I thought so when you said weed eye drops, that's great.
When you said weed eye drops, I thought there was like THC in the eye drops. I was like,
or CBD?
CBD. I was like, wow, this stuff's getting crazy. People are just dropping THC in their eyeballs.
Where do you get that stuff from? Ask him where you get that stuff from.
He said he found it in Spike's desk when he left.
Really?
No.
Oh, that would have been a great story. Yeah, I feel like Spike doesn't do anything these days, right? He doesn't eat meat. He doesn't have any dairy, cheese, anything. I don't think he smokes weed or drinks. I just think he's...
How's he alive?
I don't know, man. A lot of tofu and sprouts.
Tofu and sprouts.
Okay. That's what he's doing. Let's go to Frank, who's in Saddlebrook. What's up, Frank? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about Mark DeRosa. Him and my son-in-law were the 1-2 punch for Bergen Catholic many years ago. And Mark went on to a great career in college in football and baseball. Had a solid career as a Major League Baseball player for quite a few teams. And he's really a wonderful personality, announcer, knows his stuff, manager of USA team. And I know he's interviewed for Major League Baseball jobs, including the Yankees. I was wondering why you guys think he never got a job.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting question. Like you said, I know teams have looked at him. He also has a very successful, as you know, broadcasting career. So if it's something that isn't worth his time, or he thinks that it's going to be a job that he doesn't like, he has something to fall back on. It's not like he's not doing anything. You know, one thing I would say, and I don't know if this is a fact, but, you know, Mark DeRosa is a strong personality who is someone that's going to want to do things his way. General managers don't like those type of managers.
Right. They want guys that are going to kind of behave, right, and not go against the grain and work with the analytics people. And look, I think Aaron Boone has basically shown that.
Yeah.
That, you know, Aaron Boone was a very successful broadcaster, loved the game so much, and to have the opportunity to become the Yankees manager, that's a big deal.
But Aaron Boone and Mark DeRosa, two completely different personalities.
Yeah, I would say yes. I don't know Mark all that well, just covering Aaron for all these years. You know, Aaron is never one to, which I think is a good thing as well, because the Yankees, that's a huge job. There's so many things that you're dealing with. And one of the things that Joe Torre dealt with better than anybody were the egos that he had to manage. And he had a really good group of guys led by Derek Jeter. So it's a little bit easier to coach guys like that. But when you think about adding A-Rod to that mix and everything else that was going on around the Yankees in the 90s, and George Steinbrenner still alive and in the mix as well, I mean, think about all the stuff Joe Torre probably dealt with that we never saw.
Yeah, I mean, that was the reason why it was so good, was that stuff. It wasn't just picking the right guy out of the bullpen. I mean, they had so many...
Well, you had the right guy out there. You know, you and I could have picked him out of there.
That's what I'm saying. You know?
But I will say that Aaron Boone has cut more from that cloth.
Yeah, for sure. And who knows, too, about Mark DeRosa? I mean, maybe, you know, he wants to live in a certain place and there's only a handful of jobs that he would take. I'm not so sure. But I do think that his personality, I love a personality like he has for a manager. Don't get me wrong.
Would you say he's more on the Lou Piniella spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's as intense as Lou, but I think, yes, more that way than Joe Torre.
Joe Girardi.
Yeah, I mean, Mark DeRosa has got way more of a personality than Joe Girardi has. But, yeah, I would not compare those two.
No. I always thought that, like, when Joe's on TV, he's great. But when he was the manager of the Yankees, he's careful. Like, I think they're careful about what they say, how they say it.
they know anything that they say that is going to be the least bit controversial is going to get blown up.
Well, yeah, but that's why, like, DeRosa's in a much better situation to say that he's got big opinions and he talks about them on MLB Network, which is a lot easier to do than Joe Girardi in a Yes booth who's talking about the team he used to manage. You know? I mean, yes. It's different jobs. You know, I'd love to see, you know, Girardi in more of a talk show setting more often to see what he would be like. But, I mean, DeRosa's really good at that. I mean, he's probably, you know, with him and Kevin Millar, he's one of the best when it comes to former players that are breaking down baseball in an opinionated and entertaining way. He's that good at it. So, I mean, that's another thing. That's another reason why maybe he doesn't want to manage. Like, hell, I mean, I'm making decent money here. I'm good at this. There's really no reason to do it.
Right. There's no pit in your stomach when you're doing that job because you don't have to worry about whether or not some guy has been out all night. Some guy has been late to meetings.
But also the travel, man. I mean, it's a long season.
I mean, you got to be fully invested in that.
I don't know how old his kids are. I mean, there's so many factors, you know, that you, as you get older and you have your own family and things like that, you think about these things more often, you know, about like where someone is in their life. And if something comes along their way, it's just not so easy to pick up and go.